This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again this morning on Old Dan. Maybe it's not morning where you are. Maybe it's late at night. But we're riding out, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I'm happy to have many of you folks, new listeners out there and all over the country because of the new radio stations we've gone on. And I asked you to help us with those stations, if you will. If you want to see the gospel go out, if you want to hear the gospel and be able to come to know the Lord in this day of loose living and all of those things, the Bible been watered down and much smooth preaching going on, you help us with the broadcast. We're going all over the country. We print Pastor Shelton's messages, send them out all over the world, about 500,000 a year. We help prisoners with Bibles. We help different ones with Bibles and tracts in different countries. We are printing some of Pastor Shelton's booklets now in Spanish. And also, while I'm speaking at this time, if you can give out tracts and booklets where you live, you write me. I'll send you a list. Title list. These are little small booklets we send out. We send them, mail them out by the hundreds and thousands a year. And if you can do that, put them in the hospital, the jail, or the doctor's office, or wherever you go. Keep a few of them in your purse or in the pocket of your car. If you're going on a vacation, take them, leave them in the wayside station, you old truckers. And many of you truckers are doing that thing. I appreciate it. Carrying them in the break room. And so I would. I appreciate it if you do that. We bring you this study on the 11th chapter of Hebrews now. And we're looking there at Isaac. When Isaac had called Esau into the room there and told him to send him out and kill him a deer and make some of that savory pottage, they call it. Isaac had seen all of Esau's failures. Esau was not a spiritual young man. But Isaac had looked over. He had looked over those things, and he knew that Esau had despised the birthright. Isaac knew that Esau was a profane man, and Isaac knew that he had no spiritual appetite, and yet he was brought under the influence of him because he loved his venison. How many of you are brought under the influence of this one or that one, and you don't want to hurt their feelings? You don't want to offend them. You don't want to make them mad at you. You don't want them to leave you alone, or you leave them alone. Maybe I can help them. And you'll go along to be influenced and brought under their power, and until you hit the wall if you don't turn and turn to Christ. Now, how many of God's servants are brought under the influence of an unholy wife or a friend or a worker who cannot help them spiritually, but the influence is the whole tenor of their life? Now, that's the battle. And I've told you this story once or twice. I've heard others tell it, how there in old brother J.F.B. Meyer, one of the most spiritual men that we've ever read after, there in London. He had an average of a 1,000 at the prayer meeting every Wednesday night. But he was married before he was saved, and he was called to preach. He married a society girl as he was a young man. Later, the Lord saved him and thrust him into the ministry. But she said, "I didn't marry a preacher," and she rebelled against him until the day she died. She lived her life there in that society world, and he was never able to carry his preacher friends home with him. Never able to have any visitors at his home at all. Wasn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Do you have that problem, my friend? But there was one thing he never did do, and that was to be brought under her influence. No, no. Listen, he stood out and become one of the greatest spiritual men that ever was recorded. And we did have books of his in our bookstore. I'm not sure now. We'll check and see. Now, it's difficult to live at home with an unsaved wife or an unsaved husband or unruly children and not be influenced, and the whole tenor of your life be influenced by them. You will find yourself bending over backwards to try to appease them. Just try to get along. Now, the reason they can't, your life is contrary one to another. And the unsaved individual doesn't understand grace. Don't expect them to do that. They don't understand the grace of God. Then they think when a person is saved, they ought to live this way or that way or this way or that way. And when they don't, the whole thing falls apart. They want to put them in a mold. And then if they don't live according to that mold, they want them to try to bring them. And they'll bring them, bear every bit of influence in the world on that individual to bend his life or bend their way of living and to their thinking and their unspiritual lives, that there might be peace and harmony. Oh, my friend, you heard the old saying that oil and water does not mix. No. How many times have I heard say that some, I believe, were saved and said, why do they do this? To have peace in the home. That's why. Why do they do this? I've seen families like that. I've seen men who would not take a stand against their wives, an unsaved wife who was a hell raiser, an old bell cow, an old hooking bull, and a man, in order to get along, try to keep his family together, compromise his whole position. Now, brethren, we have that everywhere I know. Everywhere I go, I know, because I've experienced it. Now, Isaac had no business in the world to be brought under the influence of his unsaved son like that, but he was, and he influenced the whole tenor of his life. Now, here's another danger. Here's another danger we face. To bring you under their influence, they'll take every mistake you make, criticize it, magnify it, and because there isn't a believer here but what makes mistakes. I've made them, and I live in a glass house all the time, my friend. All right, on the other hand, we see Rebecca. Now, let's look there. Though she used deception to carry out God's plan, when it seemed to her that his plan was about to be thwarted, resting her faith upon the divine promises, in contrast to Isaac resting his upon a fleshly appetite because he loved Esau's cooking. Now, let's get that. There's a lot of food here for thought, isn't it? Isn't there a lot of food there for thought? We see the conduct of Isaac was far from becoming to a child of God as he came to the close of his earthly life, his earthly pilgrimage. Yet, we would not put the worst possible construction upon his action. Now, I don't do that. No, we're going to leave that in the Lord's hand day by day. You know, we don't need to criticize. It's all right to understand, you know, and to see. But listen, we would not say that he sinned presumptuously. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. I tried to describe it there with a slow bringing him under Esau's influence. Not that he sinned presumptuously, willingly, but slowly was brought under his influence. Do you know folks like that who made mistakes, my friend? I do. I have friends who have misjudged me, and I guess you'd call it fall out with me or withdraw fellowship from me. From this church, from this ministry, and I know in Pastor Shelton's life, I lived up there close to him, pretty close, and he's told me of things that people mistook for what he said and misjudged him and gave up on him and went out. Oh, my friend, we don't do that. I don't do that. No, sir. No, sir. And we say that he did have a clear understanding of the divine promise given to Rebecca. In other words, his spirit to discernment was very, very dim. But right here, let me say this. Aren't you glad God is a God of grace? Aren't you glad that God is a God of grace? Doesn't that just make you feel, rejoice your heart, sinner, believer? Don't it make you shout that God is a God of all grace, that we can depend on our Lord, ever overruling everything in the world for his glory? And we see it right here taking place in Isaac's life. God intervened to prevent him from thwarting his purpose. How many times would I have thwarted God's purpose if the Lord had not intervened? How many times would I have run ahead of him? And now I've done that. I never cease to praise the Lord for his intervening, haven't you? I have, and that's the reason I keep telling you over and over. I am what I am because of the grace of God. Even though Jacob deceived Esau, or deceived Isaac, and received the blessing according to the promise of God, yet Isaac was not angry with him. Now, that's another great truth. Oh, my friend, you know, we don't hear much spoken about that. Old Jacob was his mother's helpmate, clothes and goatskin and those things, because Esau, the word means hairy. The very word Esau means the hairy one. And she put goatskins around his neck. There'd be the hairy neck, the hairy arms, the hairy legs. But Isaac didn't get mad. He didn't get angry. When Esau finally came back and brought his meat to him, he said, "Now I've come to receive my blessing." And Isaac said to him, "I have blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed." Speaking of Jacob. And that's in Genesis 27:33. You see how God overruled? Then the Holy Spirit takes that one little incident and shows that back in Isaac's life was a life of faith, that he looked for the Messiah. Isn't that grace? That's what we started out on this study, on this section, about Isaac was a man of faith. Yes, I wonder when you and I, when we come to die, if the Holy Spirit is going to write a history of this assembly and pick out every one of us, where would he go to find acts of faith that you and I look to Christ? When would he sift out all the fleshly things of life and lay them aside? Where would he find? Oh, listen. And where would he go to find? And what would he find as acts of faith that we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, that we trusted him? Let those things, would you just let those things sink in at this time? The Holy Spirit calls our attention to the language of faith, overcoming Isaac's love for Esau, and overcoming this fleshly natural desire. Isn't that marvelous? When faith will triumph in the hour of faith did triumph, Isaac realized that God had turned him, and he had overruled every blessing for his glory. And by faith, Isaac believed him and stepped out and blessed Jacob and left him blessed and didn't get angry. Now, oh, my friend, in the 27th chapter of Genesis, the 28th and 29th verse, let's go. Let's look there before we have to stop. Therefore, God gave thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth plenty of corn and wine. Plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee, and the nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now that was the blessing he gave him as he laid his hands upon his head. Now let's notice the blessing that Isaac gave Esau in that 39th and 40th verses. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy word shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Now, my friend, that's the blessing that the Lord gave. He didn't forsake him. No, he kept the promise. That's our God for us. Day by day, the Lord keeps his promise, my friend. Oh, and I love the promises of God, don't you? And listen, the scripture says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing where his father had blessed him. And that's always true. The Esau's always hates the Jacob, just like Ishmael hated Isaac, and just like Cain hated Abel. Now that's always true. Oh, we'll take that up in our next study. We'll get on there, coming on down through here. And I wish you'd go back, if you haven't done it lately, and read all the 11th chapter of Hebrews quietly, and let them soak into your heart. Keep your Bible there by your radio or by your computer, wherever you listen, and tune in with us day in and day out. And if you need more information about our internet broadcast, our streaming broadcast, you write me or call me and let me hear from you. And I'll be glad to explain all that to you best I can. You can just about hear us any time of day now. Go there to our radiomission.org website, and you can find the Old Trailblazer. Click on it, click on broadcasting, and you can hear. There's 10 or 12 messages put there every week. The ones that's going to be played and ones that haven't been played. Goodbye, and remember our mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.